Project Part 3, subtitle Freedom, because today is freedom. Today is the day of freedom. Freedom means that what God has desired from us from the beginning, and that it continues, that we walk in our freedom. And even though oftentimes we believe we are in that freedom, we're realistically, we're still in a bondage without realizing it. And our bodies will speak that loudly. And when, like I said, we left off on last week on 12 and 1, because we talked about some things. But before we get into that, I want you to realize that in the heavens, at the fall of Lucifer, one of the third highest angels of God, the fall of him, you got to realize that your battle begins in God's house. It began in God's house. The battle begins within your own house. And oftentimes we talk about family, which is true. But the truth behind it is the battle within yourself. Because the things that you will hear, what God allows you, what God gives you. Because how many know Satan didn't have anything except God what gave to him? His powerfulness in the worship and the praise. And this is why we battle worship and praise today. This is why we battle on keeping the church alive today through which I don't believe in, and I will not conform, entertainment. We're not here to entertain you. We're here to disciple you. We're here to have you prepared for what's coming, because battles are coming. And if we don't prepare you, you will not overcome the battles. And this is what church has been set up for. And when I say we, pastors, watchmen, we are here to disciple those that come here. We're not here. This worship team is not here to entertain you. However, in your own journey, you must learn how to worship God on your own. You don't need anyone to lead you in the worship. God's already placed it in you. So as the heavens, in the warfare, we know that the battlegrounds began within. Within what? What God established. God established you, so you are the main battlefield to yourself. And you will not get away with blaming someone else. Psychology taught that, teaches that, but God is against that. God is a God that says, oh no, you're going to stand before me, and I'm going to ask you, what did you do for me? Read the scriptures. Anyway, secondary, Egypt is a great example for us coming out of Egypt. How many know what Egypt was? Egypt was our place of slavery. It was a place of bondage, a place of torment, a place of hard sweat and tears, a place that many, many things were in a complaining place. But at somewhere, God heard the cry. How many know God heard the cry? And we are now the example of Egypt, coming out from where God has heard our cry and took us out from. However, he didn't leave them at that point. He began to be a part of them. Prior to that, he wasn't in the realm like he would like to be with you, as he was like to be with them. While they were in slavery, he wasn't there with them as he brought them out of slavery. And what does that mean? When he brought them out of slavery, he brought them out, and he began the journey with them. The cloud by day, the fire by night, correct? And again, where did the battle begin? The battle began within themselves, because they're complaining, they're murmuring. Everything that God allowed to come, but we didn't realize everything that the Israelites did, coming out of Egypt, crossing over the Red Sea, going toward their promised land. Everything they did, they didn't realize that who's above them watching. He was there during the day. He was there during the night. And oftentimes we don't see that what God is trying to reveal to us, that he's always watching. He always hears, he knows, and he understands to a place that he accepts it today, but not like he did then. Because for us to realize it, those that came out of Egypt didn't make heaven their home, didn't make the promised land. That's us. Heaven's our home. So not everyone's going to make heaven their homes as we believe and we've been told they are. This is not true. So this is why the Forgiveness Project is a must. that we must attain in our hearts. Last week, we used the example about the pastor and the member who was going to leave the church, and the reason he was going to leave the church, and he asked the member to do something, on give him one more service, and this is what I want you to do. I think it was last week or the week before, I can't remember. He fulfilled the mission, and the mission was fulfilled only because he kept his eyes on the subject. See, it's important to understand that we got to learn to keep our eyes, and we hear it, and we hear it, and we hear it on God. And when we keep our eyes on him, and this is why we brought it to you in the book of Romans. I'm just going to slightly cover last week just to hear. The book of Romans talked about on chapter 12 and verse number 2. Come on, Holy Spirit, get this through. This is important today because we're going to... we're going to bring it out that we understand that this is a transformation that needs to run its course. And verse number 2, and it says in the King James Version, 12 and 2 of Romans, "And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, many people don't know and understand the will of God like we asked to be known of. How many know what the will of God is concerning you? Say me. No, say me. Because the will of God concerning you is not the same concerning me. The will of God isn't the same as concerning your spouse. We're all made separate. This is why you do not have the same fingerprint as I do. Because we were made separately. Even though we're males, all males, we do not, our female, we do not have the same fingerprint. Only God could do something like that, right? Like the zebras, right? The zebras don't have the same striping. Only a God can do that. And he does things like that to get our attention, because when he says be transformed, he's expecting a transformation to run his course. And that course, because our thinking, how many know what our thinking does to us? Isaiah speaks of it, right, about the thoughts of God. He talks about, and then he talks about the ways of God. How many understand that God's ways and God's thoughts are not our thoughts and not our ways? We have a way. We have our thoughts, but he wants that to be turned around, because how many know that even if you're not a drug addict, even though you didn't do no murders or no gang activity, and you did no such thing as in life like many do out there, you didn't say no bad words, you did everything correctly, you respected correctly, you loved correctly, yet God still calls you a sinner. You see, but in the minds of those that we see, we don't realize that that's not how God looks at it. He looks at it as that you were born into sin regardless. And this is why, regardless of that person, and we had one like that. We led that one. My little sister-in-law, my first sister-in-law. She never did anything. Didn't realize that she needed to repent. And so we led her into repentance, and her life changed. I said, well, it didn't change that mind, because you still want to be with that guy called my brother. And I know him. You don't know him. Come on. We call him Lonesome for a reason. That's my second, the brother right under me, not my oldest, that has gone to be with Jesus. But in the connection between who God says we need to become transformed into, it should bring something that's called a renewing. That's why he says a renewing needs to be running its course. We know that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 tells us to what? Be born again, because when we become, John 3:16 takes course, 5:17 of 2 Corinthians says, all things become new. All things are done away. But how many know that the old man is still within you? How many know that you have an old man this morning? You still have it. I don't care how old you become, you still have an old nature that wants to rule and reign. And that nature will constantly run its course. And even though we confess ourselves in the realms of God, this is why he says it in Romans 12, be transformed by a renewing. It cannot and will not be done until we conform into what God says to be exactly like. And when we come get to that, then that only will come in a way of searching and seeking God on a daily basis. How many know what a daily basis means? That means every day somewhere we got to make time for our God. We must do that. And, you know, we heard that, you know, thank God you got to get away, right? I'm proud of Brother Manuel, what he's done with his family, what he's done with his life, what God is doing for them. And he don't have to be picked up because he gets to choose from two different cars. Not one, but two. There was the point in three. But he blessed his daughter with one. And he has two. And only God does that with his own apartment, right? With his, for his own supplies. And God, I'm proud of this man that he took his kids away. And I'm proud of that because God, that was the Lord God. Come on. Because he's being transformed and renewed, transformed on a daily basis. Come on a daily basis. We know because we watch over his soul. We watch over what God is doing. And I watched him like I watched all of you that sit under us. And I watch what God does. He's not let it get to him yet, the fame that God has brought him. What is the fame? Most of us realize, we don't realize it. It's your lifestyle's changing. It's the way God is raising you up. The way God is bringing you to a place where God desires you to be. I mean, no, we're supposed to be above and never beneath. We're going to get that because you, without the forgiveness of God, you'll never get to the place where you'll be above, never beneath. But the true forgiveness, because if you have true forgiveness, then her writings that we just talked about, we got to deal with is the unforgiveness. And we talk about a lot of that already. We talk a lot about this. But, you know, we got to get to the place where we walk with fear and trembling of the Almighty God. Come on, somebody. And you know, this is where, once you can get to that place where the transforming, the renewing, and the fear and trembling, and that's not that you're afraid of God. You're afraid that you're going to miss God. Because he can come at any second if he desires. Come on. But you know what's after you first is, don't worry about God. It's death coming after you. And so if death is after you, you must learn to be walking in the preparation that I'm ready to meet the Lord. And what that means, if you're ready to meet the Lord, you better know that God's going to deal with unforgiveness before anything else that comes against your life. Because that cannot, and as we started in Matthew chapter 6 in the beginning, we're going to end with that, what we begin with. We're going to end with that if you don't forgive, that's your unforgiveness, you're not forgiven. And half the world is walking in unforgiveness, especially in the church world. And that's where God is concerned with. He's not concerned with nothing else in the world, even though he loves it. Are you here this morning? And then, you know, and once you get to the closest of the renewing, the transforming, he'll begin to reveal the depths of your heart. He'll begin to reveal what really, really that you don't realize is that must be dealt with is in within your heart. And I'm going to tell you, you don't want the pain of the heart. I've had to deal with it twice, and it is a place you do not want to deal with because it is painful, but not fearful. In my experiences, I'm ready to go meet the Lord because I make sure every day that I'm ready. How many of you know what I mean? I make sure I've forgiven everybody that has tested us, that has come, that has spoken against us, that has tried us, and I ask God, forgive me if I've done that to them. Because sometimes we don't realize we do it to the others without real making and being brought into our attention. So this morning, as we continue, we're going to continue now because how many know that fruit doesn't grow on true mountains? And God wants that fruit be grown and fruit come up forth in your life. And let's go to the book of 3 John real quick. Like 3 John. I'm going to go to 3 John. I want to show you about a little bit of fruit because we're talking about unforgiveness. We're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about the forgiveness project. We're talking about freedom. We talked about, oh, the Son says free. No, before you can see whom the Son says free, it says you shall know the truth. And most people don't realize what is the truth. And we know that today the truth is God's holy word. Somebody say God's word. You know, I know there's a lot of people absent, but you know what? God's dealing with them. You think he's not going to deal with them? He's going to deal with them. I was blessed to go on vacation with, get away with my son and my son-in-law and daughter. Come on. But guess what? Who did I take with me? Who did I take with me? You know what that means? Every morning, I was up with him in his word, just in a different location, because I cannot go without him. I cannot, I will not chance being without him. I know I'm away. I'm in higher elevation. Praise God. Come on. But you know, there I was doing what I know I need to do, because I know that if he comes, especially when you get in our age, we're closer. We're closer. Come on. I know we're closer. Things change at 60. My mindset has changed. I know mortality is coming for me. So I know that I can't mess around. But I also understand that it's my choice. Hello, 3 John. Right? 3 John. Why? Because I've asked him to transform me completely. I've asked him that. Let me always be what you've called me to be. I need to be a true example. And it starts with my family. So ask my son-in-law what I was doing in the morning. Ask my daughter. Ask my grandchildren that were up there. What was I doing early in the morning? In the quietness before the rattle starts happening. I was there with my God. And I know my God is there with me because they need them too. Hello, somebody. He's always with us, and I take him with me. People say, why are you doing that? Because I need him. This is what I need every morning. Just like most of you, some of you breakfast people, my breakfast is the Word of God every morning. Fresh and sitting down, and there's my coffee. There's my God. Jesus loves coffee because he brews it. Remember that. He brewed it. So I love it. Especially when he says 11:1, right? Faith. Little change of scenery there, right? But look what he says about this, and I'm going to tie it in right now, because he says, why are you going to this? It says, beloved, on on 3 John, the third epistle of John, verse number 2. Beloved, I wish above all things. Look at, I wish above all things. This is the writer. This is God speaking to us through the writer. Of all things, what does God want from you? What do you think God desires of you? You think he calls you out from amongst them and calls you to be separated and tells you to receive my forgiveness and then at the same time forgive them, that I can deal with you, be transformed, and let me do what I need to do. But it's going to start with your heart, and it's going to continue with your mindset, that I can do what I desire for you, because God has desires for us. How many know what I just said? But he knows the battle are going to be within, because he had to kick it out of heaven. And one-third followed that one. One-third. And we don't know what the number of one-third is, but I know it's a great number, because we look at the stars, we can't count them. But we know it's a great number. He says, above all things. Above all things. Hello? What does God want from you above all things? That thou mayest prosper. But be in health. Wait a minute. Be in health. Even, and here's the kicker, as your soul prospereth. You see, inside something is happening, and you don't see it. You can't understand it, but eventually it'll kick in when it's not in the realm, in the connection with the things of God. And that is his word. And his word, and we started that in the book of Matthew, said, if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. And I'm not judging no one. I'm not condemning no one. It's the word of God. It's the truth. Come on, somebody. You want freedom? Well, here's freedom. You're knowing this truth. And most of us will say, well, I've forgiven everybody. You think you have. But you can see the effects. Because the effects will tell you, if you are in the realm that you've been transformed, renewing, you know the will of God. God asks for one day. So yes. What? No. That you come together. The rest, prayer, is choice. Coming together, it's called for. It's not a choice. I'm calling it. One day. Assemble yourselves together. While we have time. Because the day's coming, they're going to take it away. Say amen, somebody. You don't want to say amen because you don't know that's true. Because he's coming. Hello. He's knocking at the door. Hello? And then he goes, even as thy soul is prospering, because you know what that means? Some of you that act like babies need to grow up. That means you're prospering, you're growing, you're supposed to be maturing. Hello, somebody, but I've seen some people that act like babies. Hello, come on, and how old are they? They're having fits. How old are they? And we're not talking about a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old. We're talking about 40s and 50s, even 60s. I'm saying, oh my God, this can't be, right? I think my wife thinks sometimes I'm a child. The way she tells me things. She has to remind me a lot. How many know what that means? She reminds me a lot of things. But I'm good with that. I'm okay. But today I have to choose to give this word or not. I thought of giving this word today. It's a reminder of our external extension, our circumstances often, which is going to reflect our internal. Your exterior versus your interior. Your outward versus your inward. Your spiritual states. Our soul can't flourish within if I don't have the true relationship with God that I have. You see, what we don't want to believe today is that the Word of God says that your sins separate you from me. We don't want to believe that our disobedience separates us from God. We don't want to hear that because that they're not preaching that no more. That's old school preaching. But it's still the Word of God of truth, right? And we are in a day that we are accepting, this is why it's called the false love. We love everybody, but now we're accepting what they do when we shouldn't be accepting what they do. Come on. We are in a place where Romans chapter 1, the reprobate mind is coming, and it's in our world right now so strong, in our country so strong. This is why the church has homosexuality behind the pulpit. We have the but on the worship teams today in lesbianism and all of that course running because we're in a reprobate mindset. You know what that means? It means that we're taking the lie and believing it over the truth. And that's what we don't realize, that if that because of the forgiveness project, when you are forgiven truly, how many know what that means? Truly forgiven means that I'm ashamed of where I was. I'm ashamed of what I have done. And I am so grateful that the Creator of all things has forgiven me. How many know what that means? How many of you have gone to the place and reached the place that you are forgiven, and by the one that forgave you, you should learn of? And most of us don't realize that statement. How many know your God? Like your God knows you. How many have gone to the place where I want to know everything I need to know about you? Like you know about me. He knows my ways. How many know God's ways? How many know God's ways? And you all should say amen, because I'm a child of God. I should know how my Father is, right? He's our Father. I should know His ways. How many know that my kids better know my ways? Now, my ways aren't always her ways. Agree? Because she's mom, I'm dad, but they know my ways. Hello, somebody. They know how I am. They know how I operate. They should know when they hear, oh, like anybody else hears about me, they should know that's not my dad. Come on, somebody. Because we have trained them the way we are. My wife said something in her exhortation that if it wasn't for God saving about her, and they would have to visit her in her grave. That's not a true statement. The true statement, only one would have visited her, because there would be no Angela or Preston. There would be no grandchildren. You understand what I'm saying? Because they came after salvation. Come on, somebody. And so realizing this forgiveness project, realizing what God is advancing in our world, realizing where we're at with Him, realizing that this whole journey is about the cross. If it wasn't for that cross, because that's the true love of God. Come on, buddy. Somebody say amen. The true love of God tells us what we need to do. when we allow the true transformation of Almighty God to come and run its course, then you're going to start seeing the mess that we are. Because we're a mess. Come on, how many believe this? It looks dirty sometimes. I don't know if you know that. And oftentimes when you know there's presence here, if you don't feel dirty or shameful, then you're not in the right place with God. Because when you're in His presence, your flesh should feel dirty. Your flesh should feel shameful. Why? Because He's so holy. But if we're in a sinful nature and not realizing I'm in an unforgiveness nature and I'm good with how I'm feeling, you better be careful with your feelings where you're at with God. Because when His presence is present, He's holy. I feel shameful. I feel dirty even at prayer sometimes. When I'm on my knees, I said, God, I don't deserve this. There's a parable, and I was going to bring that up on the next lessons we have, but I was going to say the challenge we need. There was one that was giving, and they were giving out of all that they had and all that God had blessed them with, and they were looking at the other, how that give, and the one that gave only had given a couple of all that they had, and they felt shameful, but this is all I have, and all they could say is, God, forgive me because I'm a sinner. That's us. We should be able to give Him all that we have and say, I'm a sinner. Because many times we sin with our eyes. Many times we sin with our thoughts. Come on. Many times we sin with our mouth without realizing. This is why in the covering that we have over us, like the children of Israel, they were doing things not realizing that they weren't right with God. And He dealt with this. Come on. This is why we get to the place where we can be transformed. The soul is prospering, that we can prosper as God would want us to prosper. Hello, somebody. But be careful, because prosperity doesn't mean that you are right with God. It just means that you're in a fulfillment with God, because you're not taking nothing with you. Come on, say amen, somebody. So today, my final message is, today is a day of freedom. But you're going to have to come to the realization. I'm going to encourage you today that anything you may not realize you're harboring inside your heart, how many know you harbor things? Come on. How many know sometimes you don't realize that what we have encountered in our lifetime, and the older we are, we've covered more things in our lifetime. How many agree? This is why I'm going to take you to Isaiah 53. Everybody should know Isaiah 53 more than you know John 3:16. We're going to go to the covenant, the prior covenant, Isaiah 53. Because today I want you to understand that anything that anyone has done to us, anything that's been allowed to be done to us of our lives, anything that we have encountered in our lifetime. And oftentimes, and I told you last week, go home and ask God to search you out. You know, it's not comfortable, because He's going to reveal you. It's easy to see everybody else, but God wants you to see yourself with Him. How many agree with that one? How many would like that we be told all our mess, as I said it last week, that God would write it in His scriptures, and we would put it on the board for you, that everybody can read about you, like the woman who was caught in adultery? How would you like to be the one caught and written about? How would you like that? I think God should do that to all of us. Maybe it'll cause us to line up just a hair, right? Just a hair, not a whole lot. But today, in what we have encountered, we need to come boldly to His throne. We need to come to a place with grace, and we need to come with an unwavering faith that we can release this, what's called baggage, and give it to the Lord God. And that baggage of unforgiveness, number one, bitterness, number two, any anger, any wrath, and that what you might not realize that you like more than you love God, and that is idols. We've got to come before him that we can shut the door once and for all. Because how many know we need to shut that door once and for all? Because if you don't, it follows you. Hello? It goes wherever you go. It's ever present if you don't shut this door. It's always going to be there reminding you of what God doesn't want you to be reminded of. Because that's what your enemy does. This is why he comes to attack us the way he has. This is why he does exactly what and how he does it. He does it because he wants you not to become transformed, renewed. He doesn't want you to know the will of God. Because once you learn the will of God, you're going to find out who you really are. You're going to realize what you can do, what you've been called for, what your purpose and plan of this day is for. And you will continue to exalt the one that you're here for and by. Oh, my God. See, when I started getting all these texts, we're not going to be there. We're not going to be there. We're not going to be there. How do you think that makes me feel? Because you're part of the worship team. You're my staffing. I didn't even know some weren't even going to, one wasn't going to attend. One told me, we're going away, but we'll be there Sunday. And then I find out today they're not coming. How does that make me feel? Because you're an important role of this ministry. My wife and I understand that because how many know what it means to be a boss? A real boss. Come on. We have what we call the rules and regulations in hiring, right? All right, come on. How many know what I just said about that? And once we open and allow our God in and he can shut that door, he begins to heal what is necessary. How many know God wants to heal what's necessary? Come on. Understanding what Isaiah 53 prophesied for. He prophesied this for you to understand on verse number 3. He's despised. How many know what he about being despised? And then the next word says, and rejected of men. How many know what that feels like? Have you ever been turned away or rejected by somebody? Have you ever been in a position where, why am I being rejected? Why are you rejecting me? How many know that that's not a good feeling? How many know what it does to your spirit man inside? But it says, he is despised. We're talking about our Savior that was about to come. Of men, a man of sorrow. How many of you are people of sorrows? How many really, really of you care that this world is going to pots? I'm not talking about the kind you smoke. Come on, help me hear somebody. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We know grief when we lose a loved one. We know grief when we have a separation in a relationship. But how many understood his grief? This man was coming in the form that he came because he has such a love. But to have that kind of love, he had to put on and understand about being despised, understand about being rejected, understand a man of being sorrowful. And being with grief, understanding grief. Grief is not an easy place to deal with. How many know what I mean? Especially in the lost loved ones. Today in the church now, we have, they're coming up with such groups of that they can meet together concerning grief because of the loss of loved ones. How many know that? I'm going to tell you what, there's only one that can deal with you on this one, and that's God himself because he understood it. He understands it. He understood it. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and yet we didn't esteem him. How many understand what that cross represented? What that man went for? Go on to verse number 5. It says, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised. Listen to the suffering for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. How many see this? How many see this, what he actually went for? How many have actually asked God, let me feel what you felt. Let me feel what this means. Let me put me in a place that I can understand when he tells us, pick up your cross and follow me. Your cross. Your cross is not his cross. Ask him to allow you to feel what he felt before he had to go on that cross once and for all. Coming with an acknowledgement that this is what you're going to face. Coming with a place that this is what you're going to be in a place, in a position to fulfill. I don't know if you know this. I do not want to forgive everybody, but I have to. Some of you don't realize that. I have to. I have no choice. No, I have a choice. I have a choice that I must choose, that I have to do this. And it can be done only by the one that has forgiven me. And let me tell you what. When you get to that place, he's going to put those right in front of you to test you. He's going to bring those that you don't want to forgive right before you. And I'm going to tell you, I get tested with that constantly. Hello, someone. And most of them are people of the church. People that we pour into. People that we counsel. People that could care less of how we feel as a husband and wife or as pastors. They believe that we don't have feelings. They don't believe, but I understand that we got to walk in this manner because he was a man that had to deal with that. Hello? And we know that in the garden. We know that when he was on top, he understood the rejection. This is why he said to his own father, "Why have you turned your back on me?" Paraphrasing, "Why aren't you here? Why have you allowed all of this?" He was dealing with unforgiveness. He was dealing with what he knew that he had to fulfill, and his final statements would be, "Father, why was that? Forgive them because they don't know." But he felt what unforgiveness was. He felt the rejection. He felt the grief. He felt all alone. Have you ever felt all alone? I'm talking about, and you're married, and you got kids and grandkids all around you, but you feel so alone. That's because he dealt with it. Because something's missing. Because something that God wants you to receive. And that's because we got to realize everything that he took on himself is that we can get to the place in the forgiveness project. Forgiveness starts by forgiving, not receiving. And forgiveness starts not about those. It starts with you. It's about you forgiving, nothing else. They may not accept your forgiveness. Hello? Have you ever had to tell somebody, "Hey, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And you say, "Forgive me." Have you ever dealt that? Knowing you still didn't do nothing wrong, but "I'm sorry. I'm sorry, we forgive us." And those people keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on. Welcome to the world of walking with Jesus. Because that's what he had to deal with. That's what you have to deal with. And this is what God wants to deal with. Freedom. Because that forgiveness that we just asked for wasn't about them. It was about us. Walking exactly like we're supposed to walk. Especially when we ask you in person, "Forgive us." Because Jesus had to say, "Forgive them." He had to deal with it. He was dealing with it. And you're going to be dealt with, and you have to deal with it. Again, this is why he had to tell his father, "Why have you forsaken me? Here I am. I'm on this cross. I'm all alone. Except for two thieves, one on the right and one on the left." If they say it like they say it right. This is why you got to get to the place to understand. Isaiah 53 prophecy, and then 54 and 55, great chapters. I love these chapters because it's all about us. It's about me, say me. Your salvation is about you, no one else. It's about you. When the time comes, you're going to face God on your own. And you're going to be up, you're going to see him as he is in the glorified body that he has received. Understanding that everything that has been written is so I can have a personal relationship with the Almighty God to get ready to be with him. I can't take my spouse with me. I can't take my children with me. All I can do is hope for that everything we have done to instill in them, and I can't take none of you with me. And all the many that we have poured into, I pray for their forgiveness. I pray that they receive forgiveness. I pray that everything we've instilled with them, which I know the Word of God promises, will not come back void, but a choice to choose to walk in the manner that we're asking you, that you be free today. Come on. Because I know life circumstances. I understand it more than you think we do. I'm not one that was raised in the church. I'm not one that was raised with a righteous family. We're not ones that were raised with perfection all around us. Nothing was given to us. We have had to work for everything. We still work today for everything. But one thing I believe that is worth more than all the gold and silver, worth than all the monetary system we have can buy, is that I walk in what God gave me, forgiveness, that I can be at peace. Come on. And that I can walk in the will of God. And that I can walk because I don't need nothing beyond that. Come on. That I want to be ready, because according to the book of James chapter 1, getting ready to close now. Chapter 1 of the book of James. I want that door shut once and for all. How many know what that means? If you didn't realize, the sufferings of our Savior brought healings to us. It brought an outer and an inner. The inner, and I'm not talking about one of your organs that needs help. I'm talking about what God says needs to be done. I'm talking about what you don't realize. And I mean, this is a golden nugget, another golden nugget. But I don't know if you realize that your anatomy was written from the heavens. And what does that mean? This is the golden nugget before I close you on the gospel, the book of the Epistle of James. Because in our forgiveness project that God has, several things before I get into this. There's a writer out there that believes all cancers come from unforgiveness. All cancers. They work for the American Cancer Society out of Philadelphia. And they believe that all cancers are based from unforgiveness in our lives, all cancers. And you kind of wonder, I read that writing and I said, okay, God, that kind of makes sense, because what the anatomy does to us, that God designed from the heavens to hear on us who we are, that would make sense. But then when you see the little ones suffering from cancer, it doesn't make sense. However, it's transferred. How many know what that means? It's transferred from the parenting. The parent, one of the parents transferred it to their child. Because most of us are not dealt with this correctly. We just say, all you got to say, we lead them to a lie, say, all you need is 45,000 attended the last rally. 45,000 that we heard of. 45,000 gave their life to Christ. And I'm going to tell you, 3/4 of them were already up there before last year. Something's not right. We got to make it right. We got to do it. We got to stop preaching what they want to hear and start preaching what they need to hear. See, doing that, you're not going to be popular. We're not popular. Why? Because I'm refusing, because I'm going to answer to God, and I want to answer to God for what I've been called to answer for. I'm here for Him this morning. Come on. Those texts and, you know, and phone calls started coming, and this started from last week. I was told beginning last week. I said, okay, God, there's one. There's two. Wow, we're out 5, 6 now. Oh, my God, Lord. What do you think goes through my mind? Well, I'm just going to shut down Sunday. I'm human, right? God forgives, right? God forgives, but I can't do that. I can't do that. I got to come for who God sends. Even if it's only going to be one, I'm here for that one. You know, we always say, God, I just want to, if a guy, I could just save that one. Yeah, you don't know what that means, because that'll be a test for you. Come on, are you here? We're in the book of James, chapter 1, but before we go there, the anatomy of God. You know, I don't know if you understand it. What holds you together in your physical body? What holds you up? Your backbone. Your backbone has 33 vertebrae. How many understand that? You have 33. Jesus died at 33 because he was holds us up. God designed it from the beginning to the earth. How many ribs do you have? You have 24, 12 and 12, 12 disciples, 12 tribes. Come on. Oh, my God. The anatomy of God. The heart connected to the mind. It needs to be that when you pray, your heart enlightens. When you pray, it enlightens. And then when it enlightens, it goes to your brain. Your heart realistically rejoices without you realizing. And with the connection in there, it's like a little cross. It's proven. All this is proven in science. I don't know if you understand that. And how many know that? How many days did it take that he rose from the dead? What day was it? Did you know when you fast 3 complete days that you have cells that will die and they will be replaced with new cells? Because new life begins. That's why fasting is important. Come on, say amen, somebody. So in closing, that God would have you to have, and God wants you to walk in today in the forgiveness project and closing the door to your enemy. Let's walk through the gateway of freedom. Come on, freedom. As you release every person from captivity that your heart and mind has kept. And let us let God lead us, sanctify us. Hello, somebody. And build an entrance to our faith that when we become and enter our maturity with Christ, come on, I will lack nothing. It's a proof right here on James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, 4. Watch. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this. See, the will of God, you should know this stuff. Can't be ignorant. God, you're gonna try to stand before God and say, I didn't know. He's gonna say, I gave you my word. How many translations do we have today? We got so many translations. We gotta be careful because the new one that Google's taking over the Bible, by the way. China's already changed the Bible in their writings. They took out things that they don't want you to hear. We already know that the Quran is totally the opposite of God's word. We already know that Joseph Smith, the Mormon of Mormons, has taken the place of Jesus himself. We already know all of these things, that the Jehovah Witnesses and their 140,000, really off course now because there's more than 140,000. They don't know what to do because they changed the word of God. There's so many out there that we don't realize that we got to get to the place to be able to get to with him. Knowing this, on verse number 3, that the trying of your faith, say my faith, worketh patience. And I may know you all need patience. I may know that without the fruit of the Spirit, you won't have any. Because it's part of the fruit. Come on. Have you ever seen somebody that's so short constantly? It's because they lack. And if they're in Christ, better check out the fruit. Come on. I don't know what tree you're growing. If you're supposed to have oranges, what's a tangelo? Does anybody know what a tangelo is? What is it? Half lemon, half orange? Half lemon or half orange, half what? God didn't call you to have half. He called you to be whole. Come on. That's what you call confused fruit. Or how many know what a sweet lemon is? Confused. God didn't call you to be confused. Verse number 3 again. Knowing this, that your trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that I may be what? Perfect. Oh, Christians ain't perfect. You ever seen that? Have you ever heard that? That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, meaning lack nothing. That is the will of God. But it starts with Matthew chapter 6, forgiving as being forgiven. And then the course runs its place. And that place we have shared with you in the last three lessons. And we could have went on for months on this and been stuck, because it's a place where God must be allowed to deal with. I know people don't realize the word perfect, but it means so many different. But in one example, it's called, in the Greek, or the Hebrew, it's called mature. That you may be mature. How many know you don't become matured without the trying of your faith? Understanding that the gateway of freedom today is here. How many believe that we need to be set free today? Come on, stand to your feet. How many believe that freedom is from God? No. Freedom comes from God. Oh, help me here, Jesus. Stand to your feet. I'm not going to ask you to approach the altars. My wife says, you should tell them come. I said,